All right, I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Luke, chapter 14, for the message this evening. It's good to hear those pages turning. I'll begin reading in verse 15. We're going to read the parable of what we call the parable of the marriage supper or the parable of the great supper. And I would like to speak to you from this parable tonight. You know, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable was one of the major instruments, channels of communication that the Lord Jesus used to communicate with those that heard him. And we have here tonight a very beautiful parable, a simple little parable, but one that is filled with meaning and purpose. And it'll give us, I think, a great idea of the heartbeat of our Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus was concerned about the souls of men. He's concerned about all men. And I want you to see that as we read this parable. You'll see that the Lord is concerned not just with those that have means and those that have, fancy homes and important jobs and all that. He's concerned about everybody. That person that is in the Good Shepherd's class is just as important to him as that person that drove in here in a $50,000 car. He loves every soul. He died for every soul. And the point of this parable is that we're to go out and get everybody that we can. So let's look at it, please. You follow along in your Bible as I read. It says in verse 15, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." All right, now notice that. That is a given statement. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, I think that, you know, that's really a simple statement if you think about it. It's really, you know, underestimation if there ever was one. Of course, the person that's going to sit down with the Lord in the kingdom and share a meal is going to be a blessed individual. You know, and it's almost like the guy saying that is, you know, sitting there with his little chest puffed out, you know, because he knows he's going to be there. And then he makes the statement. So what the Lord does is he takes that phrase or that sentence, that statement, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then he expands upon that, showing that it is his will and his desire and his purpose that everybody gets in on that meal. Man, everybody needs to get saved. Everybody needs to go to heaven. And so let's see the parable. Look at verse 16. It says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." That means he asked a lot of folks to come. "And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper." There is a beautiful picture here, and I want us to look at it tonight. Let's pray together, and then the message on the Great Supper. Father, we thank you so much for the music, and thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we enjoy here at the Church of the Open Door. Father, we're so thankful for the faithfulness of our people, faithful to serve, faithful to give, Lord, faithful to just jump in there wherever they're needed. And Lord, we thank you for their faithfulness tonight to be in this service. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts this evening. Lord, give us understanding of what we're about to hear. Help us to see a little bit clearer tonight your heart. Lord, help us to see your passion. Help us to see, Father, what is your purpose and your will for us as believers in your church. And Lord, I pray that we will, have a soul winning fire lit in our hearts tonight, that we'll go out and compel them to come in, that the house of the Lord may be filled. Father, bless us now. I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. But Lord, also pray that you'll give each one of us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. So bless us, Lord, now. We'll thank you for it. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. I love to preach on the parables that were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior was a master teacher, and one of the tools that he used to teach his disciples as well as the people that gathered around him to listen was the parable. He would take the most mundane, those simple little everyday things of life, and he would tell them in story form so as to teach great truths. And we have a lot of our Lord's parables recorded for us in the four Gospels. And before us tonight is one of the greatest parables that you will ever hear. He uses something as simple and as common as a wealthy man preparing a great feast and inviting folks to come. And he does this or uses this parable as a way of showing and illustrating the great truth that was spoken by this fella, this one that heard him speak in verse 15, when the fella said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, we read here in the parable something very simple. This certain man that you read about in verse 16 had this great feast, this great supper prepared. And in verse 17, he called in his servant, and he asked his servant to go out and to invite folks to come. All right, now you got to realize that they did not have the United States Postal Service back in those days. You also got to realize that they did not have email back in those days, nor could they get on their cell phones and text people and invite them to come. So if someone was going to receive an invitation to come, it was a servant who would go out and knock on their door and give them the invitation to come. And so that's what we find the servant doing in the 17th verse. He is going out, and he is inviting folks to come to the feast that his master has prepared. But we learn that as he was asking folks to come to the feast, that folks were too busy and they weren't interested in coming. And so the servant comes back and explains to the master that he has gone and invited the people that were on the list, the ones that he was told to invite. And he said, "But master, folks are too busy. They're not interested in coming to the feast." And so the master said, "Well, then here's what you do." He said, "I want you just to go out. Look, please, if you will, at verse 21. It says that the servant came and showed the Lord these things. And so then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Now, folks, think about it. Here's this rich man. He has prepared a list. Now, who do you think was on that list? His rich friends, exactly right. He has on the list his friends who also, like himself, are wealthy people. And so the servant goes out inviting these wealthy people to come, and they're all just too busy. We just don't have time. One guy said in verse 18, he said, I bought a piece of ground, I got to go see it. Another fellow said, I got 5 yoke of oxen, I got to go prove them. Another fellow that was invited said, I can't come, I just got married, and so I can't be there. And so when the servant came and showed his master these things, all of a sudden the guest list had a little change of heart. If you'll look, please, at verse 21, he said, go out in the middle of the verse into the streets and lanes of the city. Now, who lives in the streets and the lanes of the city? Well, it says, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And so the servant said, okay, Lord, we did that. We went out and we went down the streets in the city and down the lanes, which are the side streets off of the main streets. Lord, we went down into the streets and the lanes and we invited folks to come. And still, there is a lot of food and there is a lot of room. And so the Lord then turned around, the Lord of the feast turned around and said to his servant, verse 23, go out into the highways and hedges and just compel them to come in that my house may be full. So what we find out here is in verse 16, there was a large guest list that had been prepared. But that in spite of the fact that there was a long list, there were a lot of excuses and very few showed up. But so the man that prepared all the food and had the room ready, by the time you get to the end of this parable, this guest list had turned into a whosoever will may come list. Do you see that? And so it's an amazing way that the Lord used this parable in order to show what is a New Testament truth, that the Lord Jesus has a table that's been prepared. It was prepared with his own hand. It's called salvation. And now the call and the command to the world is, whosoever will may come. Now, you know, it's a beautiful parable, but it shows us the heart of our Savior and shows us what the New Testament church is all about. We are to get folks in to the banquet table that's been spread, the table of salvation that has been spread by the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now let's break this parable down and let's see the point that our Lord is making. The first thing I want you to notice is in verse 21 and 20 through verse 23, and it's what I'm simply going to refer to as the purpose. The purpose. It is clear as you read this that the purpose of the feast was twofold. First of all, the purpose was to fill the house. Look, please, at your Bible. Look at your Bible. It says in verse 23, the last part, he said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Why? That my house may be filled. So the purpose of the feast was twofold. First of all, it was to fill the house. Now, I got a question for you, folks. I want you to think about this. I'll give you a little hint, all right? Look at verse 17. Look at verse 23. And answer this question for me. Whose job was it to fill the house? It was the servant's job. That's exactly right. It was the servant's job. Now, you know, I've said this and I've prayed this and I know you have too probably. But I know what I mean when I pray it. I hope you know what you mean when you pray it. But you know, we've all done this. We've prayed and asked the Lord. We've said, Lord, give us a good crowd on Sunday. Now, wait a minute. It's not God's job to fill the house. It's our job to fill the house. You see, we can sit and pray that folks will come in all we want, and that's not going to fill the house up. We got to go out and compel them to come in. It is our duty. It is our responsibility. It is the servant's job. The job of the servant was to fill the house. We cannot expect God to do for us what is our job to do for God. And so our job is to fill the house. But then the second thing here, the second purpose of the feast is found in verse 16. And the second purpose is to feed the hungry. Now, question, whose job is it to feed the hungry? Well, that's God's job. You see, in this parable, this certain man that made the great supper is God. God is the one that sent his only begotten son into this world to die on Calvary's cross to provide a way of salvation for all men. And so, it is my job, it is your job to fill the house. But in the parable, we see that it is God's job to feed the hungry. If you look at verse 16, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. So this certain man is God. It is the servant's job to fill the house, but it is God's job to feed the hungry. And folks, God will feed the hungry if we will fill the house. And that's why I challenged you this morning concerning the living cross. Folks, there is not going to be a clearer, more powerful presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ than what folks will see in that living cross. And so if we take those tickets and we invite folks to come and put our effort behind it and our prayer behind it and our intent behind it and fill up the house, we will see God feed the hungry. If we do our part, God will do his part. So that's the purpose. But then secondly, I want you to notice with me the problem. The problem is found in verse 18 through verse 20. And you know the problem. I already alluded to it just a moment ago. Here is the servant. He goes out with the guest list that had been provided by the certain man of verse 16. He goes out with the guest list and he starts inviting folks to come, but he encounters some problems. Because the people he invited to the great banquet started making excuses for why they could not come. And I want you to notice in the parable that the Lord Jesus does not say that they gave reasons for not coming. They gave excuses for not coming. There really is no reason for saying no to the Lord Jesus. A man's a fool to say no to the Lord Jesus. That's what the scriptures tell us. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So he began to make excuses. There are a lot of excuses that people make. But there is no reason for anybody to say no to God's free salvation. Now, these first two fellows that are mentioned, there are three of them mentioned, and the first two asked to be excused. Well, I'm sorry, sirs, but there is no excuse for saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's expose these excuses for just a minute. Folks, I really think that when you look at this, look at verse 18. Let me read it to you. In verse 18, it says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I've bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And then the third fellow said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Now, he didn't ask to be excused. He just threw that out there and thought, well, that's good enough. He didn't ask to be excused. He just threw that out there and he thought, well, you know, this will be accepted. Hey, I just got married. You know, the preacher stopped a guy one day on Saturday and said, hey, we're having church tomorrow. I want you to come. And the guy said, the guy said, bulls have horns. He turned around and said, what? He said, bulls have horns. He said, what does that mean? He said, I don't know. It's just first thing came to mind. But one excuse for not being there is just as good as another, don't you think? And you know, folks, that's exactly the way we think about things. That, you know, whatever excuse I come up with for saying no to the Lord, well, hey, that's good enough excuse. It's my excuse. But there is no excuse for saying no to Jesus. Not under any conditions. Now, let's look at this. First of all, go back to verse 18 to the first guy. I submit to you that these guys are either liars or they're fools. They're either liars or they're fools. Now, analyze what they're saying. Can you imagine buying a piece of property before you looked at it? That's what he said. It's an excuse. He said, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I'd like to sell this man a bridge in New York, wouldn't you? I'd like to sell him some oceanfront property in Colorado. If he's that gullible that he's going to buy a piece of property without looking at it first. And the second guy, he's not much smarter than the first guy. He said in verse 19, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. He said, I pray, have me excused. He's not much brighter than the first guy. You say, but Pastor, you shouldn't look a gift horse in the mouth. Hey, I agree with that, but these oxen were not a gift. He bought them. He paid for them. And after he paid for them, he thought then he'd better go check them out. So he's not very smart either. It's an excuse. By the way, folks, most excuses are kind of silly, aren't they? I mean, when you analyze them, when you break them down and get to the root of them, they don't hold water. They are kind of silly. And then this third guy, he said, I can't come. I just got married. I just married a wife. Well, here's the thought, buddy. Bring her with you. That makes sense, does it not? You see, really, the underlying reason of refusing to enter into the kingdom is it's really open hostility towards God. Can you imagine the God of heaven inviting you to come and you saying no to the God of heaven? I mean, it's open hostility towards God. These guys are just coming up with lame excuses, and it's showing what is really in their heart, that they are against God. Can I remind you, the Apostle Paul said that the carnal mind is enmity against God. When men have put other things between themselves and God, the result is they become hostile to God. The point is, folks, not everybody's going to get saved. I wish they would. They need to. All of us need the Lord. But the point that the Master is making here is that not everyone is going to be saved. All are welcome. Anybody that will may come. All are invited. But the truth is, some will refuse. Some will refuse. And that leads us then to the plan. Look at the plan with me, please. So what happens? Well, look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. The servant comes back and he says, Lord, I've done everything you've asked me to do, and yet there's still room. And so here's the plan. Look at verse 23. It says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. He said, go out and get to the streets and the lanes and get the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And so they did that. And by the way, folks, these were, back in those days, the dregs of society. These were the people that nobody wanted to hang around. These were the people, remember Bible times, remember Bible thinking, when you were blind or when you were maimed or when you had some physical infirmity, people looked at you as though, boy, you've sinned and this is God's judgment upon you. And you were looked down upon. When the servant came back and said, "Master, I went with your list and I invited all your buddies and all your pals and they didn't want to come." He said, "Well, I got all this food over here. Look, this food's going to go bad. We're just going to have to throw all this food out." And he was a man with a heart. And he said, "I don't want to have all this food just go to ruin. Go out into the streets and lanes and bring in all the people that can't get here on their own. Go out there and bring them in." And so they went out and they still had plenty of room. And so now the plan is kicked up into high gear. And the Lord said to the servant, "You got plenty of room? Then go out into the highways and into the hedges and just compel them to come in so that my house can be full." Folks, let me tell you something. I believe with every fiber of my being that one of the reasons why God blesses the church, the open door, like he does, it is because we're not just after the doctors and the lawyers. We're not just after the people that live in the $500,000 homes. We'll take all of them that we can get. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit down with a list and say, "How much money do you make before I share with you the gospel?" We're not going to sit down with a checklist and say, "Oh, you want to join this church? Well, let me ask you, sir, how much income do you have per year?" No, that is not it at all. But I think one of the reasons that God blesses this church, yes, we have well-to-do people in our church. Yes, we have people that have high education and great jobs, and you live in beautiful homes, and thank God every day for that, my friend. But listen, I think one of the reasons that God blesses this place like he does is because we take those old buses out there and pour thousands of dollars into them a year to go out here into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. I think one of the reasons that he blesses is because we have people like Brother Mike Fox and his family and Harry and Joyce and Doug Norwood and a bunch of other folks. I go name and I won't name everybody that go up here and sit with our reformers crowd, and they sit with the Good Shepherds crowd, and they sit and love these people and tell them that Jesus loves them. Folks, listen, Jesus died for that bunch just as much as he did for you and for me. And I think that's one reason why God blesses this place like he does. The servant comes back and tells the master that he invited folks, but no one would come. So the master devises a plan, and he says, "Go out into the streets, get the poor, get the maimed, get the halt, get the blind." And so they did, and he still had room. So he continues unfolding the plan, and he said, "Now here's the thing: you go out and you get just whosoever will." I mean, the guest list became a whosoever will list. And Jesus said, "Just go get them." Now notice a couple of things about this plan. First of all, it was an inclusive plan. It was an inclusive plan. Now you'll notice that the original list had the rich on it. Poor commoners did not own property. They did not have oxen. As we read, when he went out and these people began to make excuses. The poor and the maimed and the halt, they didn't own property like that guy in verse 18. They did not own yoke of oxen. Why would you have all those oxen? Why would you have those? Because you rented them out. You made money off of them. All right? And so the poor and the maimed and the halt, they weren't rich. And so it became an inclusive plan. Notice in verse 21. The plan includes the poor and the maimed and the halt. Hey, folks, the point is, get somebody. If you can't get the rich, then go out and get the poor and the maimed and the halt. If you can't get somebody that's got some wealth and they're well-to-do and they're educated, then, wipe your hands from that, dust your feet off, and go across the tracks and tell somebody on the other side of the tracks. They need the gospel just as badly. You see, God doesn't care if a man is a lawyer or a doctor or an educator or a ditch digger. He wants all men to be saved. He died for all men. God doesn't care if a person is healthy or if he's afflicted with a disease. He loves all and desires all to be saved. The point is, just get somebody to get saved. The table is spread. I mean, the food's getting cold. So just go get some folks. That's the philosophy. That's the idea. And if the rich, if the well-to-do, if the wealthy, if the healthy won't come, then go and get the poor and the downtrodden and the outcast and the deaf and the little children and the good shepherds. I mean, just go out and get the ones that nobody wants to be associated with. It doesn't matter who you get. Jesus died for all. Just go get somebody. That's the point. Just get somebody. So it was an inclusive plan. But also it was an immediate plan. Look at verse 21. He said in the middle of the verse, go out. What's the next word? Quickly. Yeah. Quickly. The master is saying we are to immediately go and get folks saved. I mean immediately. Folks, listen, every day that goes by for a person that does not know Christ as his or her Savior, with every day that goes by, that person is getting closer and closer to an eternity in hell. It was an immediate plan. But then thirdly, notice with me, it was an intense plan. It was an intense plan. In verse 22 and 23, the servant went and gathered up the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. But they said, we still have room. So the master stepped it up a notch. And he said, go and compel them to come in. Constant persuasion. You say, you know, I got relatives that, Pastor, when they see me coming, they start going, oh no, here he comes again. He's going to invite me to that old church, the open door again. Well, just keep inviting. Maybe one of these days they'll come. Maybe one of these days they'll come. You see, the master knew he could help these folks. He knew that they were hungry. He knew that there were starving people out there who could benefit from what he has to offer. And so he says to his servant, go get them. Beg them to come in. Beg them. Folks, that's the way we ought to look at this. We have a community around us that needs the Lord. We have a community around us that is dying without Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure they want me knocking on their door. I'm not sure they want me inviting them to come. That's not the point. The Lord wants you to. It's not the point whether they want you to or not. The point is the Lord wants you to. He's the one that's given the orders here. Go and compel them to come in. Now, I'm not going to do this, but let's suppose, all right? Now, we're supposing. Everybody got that? We are supposing. I'm not going to do this. But let's suppose, with a capital S, that I said, I will give you $100 for every visitor that you bring to church next week. I said, suppose. All right. Some of y'all need to take your hanky out right now and you need to wipe the drool off of your chin. I am supposing. I wonder how many visitors we'd have next week. I wonder just how broke I would become. I tell you what, folks, we've somewhere along the line lost the reality that people need the Lord. We've lost that thought. We've somehow or another lost sight of the fact that we're going to have to live somewhere forever. That we, as servants, have an urgency, a compelling command, a call from the Master to fill the house. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. It's our obligation. And again, go back to verse 15. The truth that launched this parable is, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But by way of contrast, look at verse 24. He said, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The happiness in verse 15, the sadness in verse 24. Oh, dear friends, let the Word of God challenge you tonight to get a burden for the souls of lost and dying men. We all have someone that we can get a burden for. We all have someone. We have a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a co-worker. We all have someone that we can invite to the table. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure that I could witness to somebody. I'm not sure that I could, you know, do this soul-winning thing. Well, that's why we're offering this soul-winning training that Pastor Larry is doing. That's why we're offering that. We're making that available to you. And I'm begging you, folks, if you've never taken the Soul Winners Club, you ought to sign up. You ought to sign up. Go out there tonight and sign up and start the class this coming Wednesday night. Learn how to win somebody to Christ. You can do it. You can do it. Every single session, there are people that will go out there and they'll sign up and they'll while they're writing their name, they got the devil whispering in their ear, "You'll never do this." And then after the 12 weeks are up, they say, "Wow, I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I could do it, but I've led my first soul to Christ." Maybe you've taken it, but it's been years ago, and you've lost your fire for souls. Go out there and sign up. I mean, let's invite folks to come to the banquet. The table's spread. It's ready. And I tell you, there are people everywhere that are hungry. Now, not everybody's going to come. That even the Lord showed us that. But there are some that are going to come. Let's do what we can to reach them. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, you know our hearts tonight. Lord, we sure do. We sure do need your blessing. Father, I pray that you will help us to realize and to understand that we have a duty and an obligation and a responsibility right here in Carroll County, right here in Westminster, right here in our community to tell others about Jesus. The table is spread. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to get as many people to the table of salvation as we can. Lord, we thank you for the Word, and thank you for the simplicity of the Word of God. And I pray now that you'll bless it to our hearts, and Lord, stir our hearts with it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. How many of you here tonight will say, "Preacher, God's speaking to my heart tonight. God's speaking to my heart. I need to be a better soul winner, and God's touched my heart tonight. I want you to pray for me, Pastor. Pray, God's touching my heart, speaking to my heart about being a soul winner." Would you raise your hand and let's pray about this together tonight? All over this building, raise your hand. Amen. What a wonderful sight that is. See all these young people and teenagers raising their hands tonight. God bless you, young people. God bless you, Mom, Dad. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Let me ask this. Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you've never won a soul to Christ. Not one time have you ever personally been responsible for leading a soul to Christ. And you'll say right now, "God, touch my heart. Touch my heart. I need to be a soul winner." Would you let God touch your heart, dear friend? You say, "Pastor, I've never led a soul to Christ. I never have. And God's speaking to my heart." Oh, let Him speak, would you? And now, as He speaks to your heart, why don't you just determine that you're going to go out after the service and sign up and get in that soul winner's training and let God use you to win somebody to Jesus. Father, you know our need tonight. And Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, help us to be soul conscious. Help us to be aware that there are people that need the Lord. They are dying without Christ, going out into eternity forever and ever lost. But Lord, we can make a difference. The table has been spread. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to go out and compel folks to come in. Lord, help us not to lose sight of the poor and of the maimed and of the blind and of the halt. Help us not to lose sight of those that are looked down upon by society. help us not to lose sight of those that have infirmities. But Lord, as we're laboring and as we're running the buses and running the Soul Winners Club and doing our part, Father, you provide, meet the needs and bless as only you can. Lord, we just want to be used. We want you to use us. And Lord, I pray for our area and pray that, Lord, you'll have freedom and liberty to convict hearts and, Lord, prepare hearts and then use us to get them to the banquet table. Lord, help us tonight, I pray. And there are, Lord, without having hands raised tonight, there are no doubt people here that have never led another soul to Christ. And Lord, you're speaking to their heart tonight. And I pray, Lord, that they will surrender themselves and say, Lord, use me, help me. And Lord, may they follow through on that by signing up to take the Soul Winners Club and getting involved and getting the plan down where they can be effectively used to win another soul to Christ. Father, help us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.